Good morning. Today's daf in Beis Yud. We are on Testament Beis. We're starting at the two dots of Amateh Michalom Michalom. Moving the ladder from one birdhouse to another birdhouse. You have birdhouses in your backyard. You are going to be taking from those birds. The birdhouse is probably not the best way to describe it, but the point is that you have birds and Yontif. You have storage for the birds, and you want to go and take them in order to enjoy your Simchas Yontif. You're going to be taking those birds and Yontif. You're going to be shechting them and Yontif. So we're going to be going through a lot of the process over here in terms of selecting the birds, getting the birds. Anyway, the Mishnah, yesterday's daf, talked about taking the ladder and bringing them over in order to collect the birds. So yesterday's daf was all about the ladder. The ladder is, on one hand, a really good way to access the birds. On the other hand, it may be problematic because the ladder is something that you normally use for construction. And so using the ladder on Yontif. So is that an issue of Marasayin Machloks between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? So Beis Shammai is of the position that you cannot take the ladder and move it from Yishavach L'Shavach, from one birdhouse to another birdhouse, because that ladder certainly gives off the impression that you are involved in some sort of construction. It's an issue of Marasayin. On the other hand, Beis Hillel is Mako. Beis Hillel says that, look, the ladder, if I put the ladder against the house, so then I can understand Marasayin, but you're putting the ladder up against the Shovach. So under those circumstances, it's not an issue of Marasayin. That is a quick and short summary of the Gemara that we saw yesterday. We are continuing now in the Gemara of Amateh Michalom Michalom Alma. The Gemara.
Where are you starting from, sir?
Okay, I'm the two dots on Testament base. It's about 10 lines from the bottom.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Avamateh Michalom Michalom Alma Gabi Simchas Yontif Beishamer Lechomer Beisol Lekula. Okay, so what comes out clear now from our discussion is that in order to achieve Simchas Yontif, again, the whole point of getting the birds is that you'll have meat on Yontif. And so Beis Hillel becomes a Mekel, and in Beis Hillel becoming a Mekel, so that means that for Simchas Yontif, so he's ready to be Mekel. And what the Gemara now is going to be doing over the course of the next pretty much Amud is note that the number of times throughout Shas Beis Hillel comes out to be a Mekel regarding Simchas Yontif. On the other hand, we're going to compare and contrast that to our first Mishnah of our Masechta. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, Uriminu. So now we're asking the question, So remember in our first Mishnah, you had an animal, a wild animal, required kisur adam, and so before I shecht, so I did not have dirt that was prepared. So what is now going to be my position in terms of the allowance of shechita? So Beis Hillel's position is, don't shecht it. Lechaz chila, one's not allowed to shecht it. And Beis Shammai says, no, lechaz chila, you're allowed to shecht it. So it comes out now that Beis Shammai is the Mekel, allowing you to shecht in order to achieve Simchas Yontif, and Beis Hillel is the Machmir. So what we seem to have now is an inconsistency regarding Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel vis-a-vis what they are going to allow for the purpose of Simchas Yontif. So I'm Rav Yochanan Muchlefes Hashita. So Rav Yochanan says, look, it's a real inconsistency, and what you're going to have to do in order to create shalom is that you're going to have to flip around one of those mishnayos. Now, which mishnah is Rav Yochanan proposing? So he's not clear. He doesn't say. So there's a short Rashi and a lengthy Tosfos over here that spends a lot of time trying to figure out which one is being flipped around. And so I encourage offline, off the daf, to spend time with the second Tosfos over here. I'm sorry, the last Tosfos on the Amud, where he really does spend the time trying to figure out which one Rav Yochanan is proposing to flip. But we're going to go back to the Gemara, and the Gemara says, Mimai. You don't have to flip anything around. So, Dilma, Kan lo kamar Beis Shammai hasam ala hechadika dekar na'utz. No, as far as the Kisur Adam issue is concerned, so remember, if for Beis Shammai, who says that lechatchila you're allowed to shecht, the shovel was already in the ground. The spade of the shovel was already in the ground. And therefore, Beis Shammai says that there's mamish no iser whatsoever. Right? Whatever potential possible iserim there are, we discussed this back in Daf Ches in our Masechta. So Beis Shammai says, "Mamish, there's no iser whatsoever." But if there's no spade in the ground, meaning if there is a possible issue, and over here in the case of the birds, Beis Shammai says that there's a possible issue, so then there is in fact going to be a concern or consideration. Or we could argue in another direction, and that is over here when it comes to Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says, "Look, the ladder is up against the birdhouse. There's no concern whatsoever. There's no issue whatsoever. Meaning Marasayin is taken out of the equation altogether. Aval Hasam lo, but over there no. Meaning over there, there really are potential problems, as we discussed already back on Daf Ches. So the Gemara says, so there is no inconsistency. It just happens to be that relative to what we're discussing, either we're discussing Kisur Adam or we're discussing the case of the latter. So each one is either going to argue that there is or there is no problem. But but it's not an inconsistent position. So the Gemara says, Ikasha, Akasha. So now what we're going to do is we're going to do this four more times, where there are going to be four other Mishnayos in Beitza. It happens to be, we're going to be seeing, it's great, these Gemaras over here as they prepare us for the upcoming Mishnayos. So we're going to see in four other Mishnayos where again, we're going to find Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And we're going to see every single time Beis Hillel is a Mekel, every single time Beis Shammai is a Machmir. And, it seems to be inconsistent with our first Mishnah. And every single time what we're going to point out is that it may not be inconsistent because, again, it may be the issues are relative to the particular topic that we're discussing. So, Ela Yikasha Akasha, Beis Shammai Omrim Lo Yitol, Ela Imkei Nanem, Bo Yom, Beis Hillel Omrim, Omid Va'omer Zevezani Notel. So we're going to be discussing this in more length a little bit later on this morning. Anyway, but just selection of birds. The birds have to be pre-selected going into Yantif. So you have to go to your birdhouse and you have to point that bird, that bird, that bird. According to Beis Shammai, that's insufficient. You gotta take the birds. You gotta shake the birds. Okay. Again, we'll talk more about this a little bit later on. Anyway, and now what comes out over here is that Beis Shammai demands more out of you. In other words, for a selection of the birds prior to Yantif, you gotta not just simply point to the bird, but you gotta shake the bird. And meanwhile, the first Mishnah where Beis Shammai comes out to be a Mako. So Amar, Rabbi Yochanan Muchlefes HaShita. So once again, Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, so flip around one of the Shitas and take inconsistency and make consistency out of it. V'dilma Lo'i, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Adkan lokat lo Amri Beis Shammai Elahecha De'iga Dekar Na'utz. And again, the Gemara is gonna go through the same distinction, and that is in the first Mishnah of Ramasakhta, so the spade is already in the ground, and Beis Shammai will argue there is no problem whatsoever. So avahecha deleka dekanot lo. But over here, in terms of the selection of the birds, so by the selection of the birds, there really is a problem of muksa. We're going to articulate a little bit later on what exactly is the problem regarding the birds and muksa, but there's a problem of muksa. So, inami adkan lo kamri beis hillel hacha ela kevin de muksahu ba'omid v'omer zevizani no telsagi. Alternatively, what you could say is that for beis hillel, look, by the birds, the issue is muksa. Pointing to the birds relieves the issue of muksa. That's all you need to do in order to resolve the muksa issue. Avahasam lo. But in the case of the dirt in the ground, so even if the dirt is in, even if the blade is in the ground, so there are still going to be possible other issues. Again, going back to Daf Ches, maybe the clumps of dirt are really thick and you're going to be grinding it down even further. V'chule, v'chule, and the assortment of other issues that the Gemara raised back on Daf Ches. So, again, the positions are not inconsistent. Again, you have to look at each position separate of the other, and it could very well be that they're going to take different positions based on whatever particular issue is being discussed. Here we go now, round three. So taking out your big chopping block. Okay, so it's basically some sort of daf, it's some sort of wooden block. It's muksa machma sister. That's the way Rashi describes it over here. And as a result of that, generally speaking, you're not allowed to move it. So you're not allowed to move it, but let's say you want to use it for a mutter purpose. Generally speaking, it's used, it says Rashi, for pounding wheat and making some sort of hot cereal. Anyway, but you want to use that now on Yanta for a mutter purpose. Are you allowed to move it? So, Beis Shammai says no. Beis Hillel says yes. So again, so here we are now in round three. So Amma Gabbis Himchas Yanta Beis Shammai L'chomer Beis Hillel L'kula V'Rimino Ashochei Chai V'Of Beis Shammai V'Chulei. So now take that Mishnah, compare it against the first Mishnah, and once again, inconsistency. So I'm Rav Yochanan Muchlefes HaShita. Every single time Rav Yochanan says, look, you're right. It's an inconsistent set of Mishnayos, and therefore we're going to have to flip around one of the Mishnayos. Mimai, and again, the Gemara says, not necessary, doma lo hi adkan, lo kami beis shammai hasam alehecha deka deka na'utz, avalehecha deleka deka na'utz lo. Again, same story with Beis Shammai. The blade is in the ground. There is no issue whatsoever. So inami ad kan lo kamri beis halacha ela the ikatoros kli alav avahasam lo. Or alternatively, you could say that as it relates to beis hillel. So yes, the item over here, the ali, this chopping block. So it's true that it is it's muksa. On the other hand, it's a lighter form of muksa, right? The Gemara describes it as having a toros kli. It's a functional item. And as a result of that, so because it has Taurus Kli Alav, so therefore we're going to be more makel. On the other hand, when we're talking about dirt, obviously it does not have a Taurus Kli Alav, so the cases are different. Eli Kasha HaKasha, here we go, round four. Beishami Armin Meino Sinemis Orlif Ne'ad Dorsam V'lo Yigbenu Alayim Ken Yesh Alav Kizayis Basar Beisil HaMatirin. After having checked an animal on Yantav, so you're going to have a nice piece of hide. So is that hide on Yantav going to be Muksa? What can I do with that hide? So Beis Shammai's position is the hide is absolutely muksa. The only allowance to move the hide on Yantiv is only if there's still some meat attached to the hide. They have to have, and a significant amount has to have a kazayas of meat on the hide. Otherwise, you're not allowed to move the hide. On the other hand, Beis Hillel says, nah, even if I just have the hide in of itself, it's not muksa and you're allowed to move it. So, and what are you going to do with that hide? Stay tuned. We're going to see in just a moment. But meanwhile, Beis Hillel comes out to be a mako. So Amegabasimchas Yantiv Beis Shammai lechomer Beis Hillel lekula. And again, compare that with the first Mishnah. So I'm Rav Yochanan Muchlefes Hashita. Okay, so at this point in time, so we can all learn, and we're all learning together. We know what Rav Yochanan's approach is going to be. Okay, so there's inconsistency. So what we'll do is we'll flip the Mishnahs around, one of those Mishnahs around, and then we'll create alignment. So Mimai, and the Gemara says, not necessary. And once again, in the case of Beit Shammai and the Kisu Adam, once the blade is in the ground, there is no issue whatsoever. Over here, as far as the hide is concerned, the reason why, according to Beis Hillel, he's going to be makel by the hide is because it's not a davar muksa at all. Well, what are you doing with the hide? So what you're going to be doing with the hide is that you're going to be sitting on the hide. Right? Rashi describes how basically you're going to put it on the floor. Granted, by the way, it is raw and unfinished and it needs a lot of work, but still, even in its raw state, so you'll put it on the floor and you'll sit down on it. It'll serve as a cushion. Ava hasam lo, but over there, in the case of the dirt, obviously, you don't have that argument. So, ela ikasha hakasha. Okay. And finally, round five. Round five of what the Gemara now sees as possible inconsistencies. Between Beit Shammai's and the Beit Hillel's. So Beit Shammai Armin main Masakin and Satris and Beyamtov and Beit Hillel Matir and Afla Achzer. So this is a really interesting Mishnah. It's coming up also in tomorrow's daf. And that's going to be opening up shop on Yantiv. Now, I know this is going to sound strange, but you're allowed to open up shop on Yantiv. What? Right? Open up a store and have people come in and buy? Yep. We'll talk about it more in tomorrow's daf, but you're allowed to do so. Now, obviously, over here, we're not talking about a commercial activity that has nothing to do with Yantiv. We're talking about buying and selling for the purpose of Yantiv. In other words, the fruit stores and the meat stores and the fish stores are open on Yantiv, and you'll go and you'll buy. I know it sounds strange, by the way, because generally speaking, Mecha Chumemkar is also on Shabbos, it's also on Yantiv. You're not allowed to engage in any kind of transaction, in business transaction. So we're going to talk in more detail about the certain circumstances in which this is going to be okay. And Rashi over here makes brief mention of the fact that you're not allowed to talk about price, meaning there is a transaction occurring and you are going to owe the money. You're just not right now going to talk about price. And what you'll do after Yantiv is you'll fight about what the price was. So editorial note. But over here, the discussion is a really specific discussion regarding the treason. Okay. The shutters. When the stores were closed. So you took the shutter and you used it to close it. When the stores were open, so you repurposed the shutters. So what you did with the shutters is you took them off the storefront and you laid it down as like a makeshift table and you put all your merchandise on the table. So as a result of that, it's going to be mutter. Now, when I say mutter, so let's just focus on Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says it's mutter to take off the tree sim. It's even mutter to put it back on again. Now, putting it back on again has nothing to do with Yantiv, meaning that closing up of shop is just so that after Yantiv, no one comes and takes. So that's a big heter. We're going to talk more about that heter in tomorrow's daf. So let's hold off on that discussion. But anyway, Beisel is a Mekel. That's the whole point over here. And meanwhile, Beishamai is a Machmir. He says you can't even take the shutters off. Okay, so how does this work according to Beishamai? Okay, good. Anyway, it comes out that Beishamai is a Machmir, Beisel is a Mekel. And we, at this point in time, know the sequence of the Gemara. So now, to compare and contrast, Beit Shammai's, so the Gemara says it's not inconsistent. Okay, so again, so we know that when it comes to Beit Shammai and his position regarding Kisui Adam, when the blade is in the ground, he feels that there's no Isser whatsoever. There's nothing to contend with. That's why he's Mekel in the case of Decker notes. But in all these cases, and specifically over here, in the case of the tree sim, so he believes that there's going to be a problem. Now, what problem is he talking about over here? So again, the Gemara does not make mention over here, but, well, the Gemara will allude to it in just a moment, but for Beit Shammai, when you're taking the shutter off, so it's stira. In other words, you have your store, you're taking a part of the actual physical of the structure off, so this might be a case of stira. And putting it back on again, that would be an example of binyan. And so, even though, when I say it's a store, by the way, I'm exaggerating a little bit. It's not so much a store, it's like a small warehouse. It's like, right? Anyway. So the Ella Beisola, Beisola Kasha, but the stira between Beisolas are problematic. I'm Rav Yochanan, Mukhlefes Hashita. So again, so, now the format of the Gemara over here is a little bit interesting and this is a nitpick, but that's what you're supposed to do when you learn Gemara. You're supposed to nitpick. So over here, when it came to Beit Shammai, like the Gemara didn't see the problem whatsoever. Meaning Rav Yochanan didn't come to his result of, well, let's flip around the Shitas. It's only when we got to Beis Hillel, in this particular case, did Rav Yochanan then insert, okay, let's flip it around. Okay, that's different than the other four times. Okay, but anyway. So but the Gemara says, but Vidilma, I know the Gersa here needs a little bit of work, but Vidilma Lohi. The Gemara says, okay, but even here, we don't have to flip around Shitas. So I can look at me Beis Hillel Hacha Elamishum De'ein Binyam Bekelem Ein Stira Bekelem Avazam Lo. So over here, do you know why Beis Hillel is a Mekel? Because we're not talking about a real building. We're talking about some sort of, it's a large closet. And so this is now a question of whether or not there's stira or binyan bekelim. And Beis Hillel is of the opinion that ain binyan ve ain stira bekelim. There's no problem whatsoever of building or deconstructing something that's not a house. That's something that's not connected to the ground. Okay. So that's the way we'll make a distinction between the cases, and it comes out now that we don't have to flip anything around. It's so funny. When you take a sum total of the entire discussion, it comes out now that we had five Mishnayos. It has Beis Hillel being a Mekel and Beis Shammai being a Machmir. So the format of the Gemara is really interesting and certainly needs better understanding. Meaning every single time the Gemara takes one of the five Mishnayos and pits it against the first Mishnah. Meaning, when you take the total picture, which we now have because we just went through the whole sugya, you take the total picture, so you have five Mishnahs where Beis Hillel comes out to be a Mekel, and Beis Shammai comes out to be a Machmir. So once you have the total picture, so then you could certainly see as a larger picture that when it comes to Simchas Yontov, Beis Hillel is just going to be more lenient. And so why didn't the Gemara just simply take all five of the Mishnahs and then just simply compare to the first Mishnah? Okay. I mean, the answer is very simple. The answer is because the Gemara wanted to speak out what exactly the issue was by each of the Mishnayos. Okay. We are ready. We're on Yud Amud Aleph. We're at the Mishnah, about two-thirds of the way down. Beis Shammai Omrim, Lo Yitol Alem Keinane Mibo Yom Veisol Omrim Omid V'Omer Zeh Ani Notel. Okay, now, selection of your birds. Okay, so you want to be prepared for Yantiv. You have your birdhouse. You have all your birds in your birdhouse. And so now you want to select the birds. Now, why do you want to select the birds? Meaning, why in Yontif can you not just simply go up to the birdhouse and just simply take a bird? So that's a wonderful question, and we're going to answer that question in just a moment. But the halacha demands that you have to go up there and you have to make decisions. So on Erev Yontif, you go up there and you're going to select your birds. Then how do you select your birds? So that is the machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beit Shammai's viewpoint is that what you got to do is that not only point to a bird, but pick it up. And more than that, nanuin, shake it. Okay. So if it's sukkahs, by the way, you'll be doing a lot of nanuin. You're doing it on your dalaminim. You're doing it on on the birds that you were prior to yantif. Okay, but that's shitas Beis Shammai, that you got to shake the birds. Mashenkin, according to Beis Hillel, a simple pointing with the finger would be sufficient. So zeh v'zeh ani nota. Just simply point to which ones you want, and that's sufficient, and that will be enough. Obviously, what's that issue over here? Well, no, I said obviously. I retract the word obviously. So the issue at hand over here in terms of why the selection and why, according to Beis Shammai, you need a forceful selection. So we're going to see in just a moment. Amar Rav Chanan Bar Ami. So the Gemara quotes in Amoro. Machlokis Bebrecha Arishona. So yes, there's a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. That is, that's clear. That's the Mishnah. But what this Amara does is that he significantly limits the Machlokis. That's only with the first brood. However, I'm sorry, the Beis Shammai Sarvei Gazrinan Dom Asilam Luchei Beis Hillel Sarvei Lo Gazrinan. So with that first brood, what Beis Shammai says is that, look, what's going to happen is that you're going to wake up on Yom Tov morning and you're going to go up to get those birds and you're going to have a change of heart, right? You see the young chicks, and although you set them aside for Yom Tov and you pointed to them, but I can't take them away. I can't take them away from the parents. Okay, and you'll have rachamonis. Now in the first brood. And that's why for Beis Shammai, you got to go up there and just simply pointing is not going to be sufficient, but you got to shake it. Almost like desensitize yourself a little bit to the birds. So at that point in time, now you shook it before Yom Tov. So now in Yom Tov, you are going to lack, you're not going to have that compassion, wash on you and simply, rethink your life decisions. Okay. Amash Ankin for Beis Hillel, he's not worried about that. In other words, you point to it, that's going to be enough. Aval Bebrecha Shnia, but when it comes to the second brood, so, Divrei Hakol, Be'omid V'omer, Zivazani Notel, Sagya. So, from the second brood, as we're going to see Rashi in just a moment, from the second brood and onward, so at that point in time, there's no longer a machlokas pointing, it's going to be sufficient. Bein le Beis Shammai, Bein le Beis Hillel. Okay. First brood, second brood, what are we talking about over here? So Rashi teaches us a little bit about farm life and about birds. Okay, so Rashi says like this. What happens with your with the mama is that the mother is going to be providing a brood once a month. Again, I'm just saying over Rashi. This is not me being on the farm. This is just me reading Rashi and summarizing Rashi. So about once a month, so the mother's going to be giving birth to two birds. Rashi over here, unbelievably specific. Rashi says one's going to be a male and the other one's going to be a female. Okay. Anyway. So what happens is the following. So that is a brood a month of birds, and the first brood, so you're going to be very sensitive to it. Why? So it happens to be that the mother likes its first brood, and so if you take that away, it's going to really it's going to do emotional, psychological damage, whatever. It'll hurt the mother. So what you really want to do is you want to leave that first brood with the mother. And then from that point going forward, you'll take all the subsequent ones. Okay, good. So that's the general psychology, says Rashi, of what's going on in the Gemara over here. So that's why for Beis Shammai, if you want to take the first brood away, so because of that extra sensitivity that you have towards the first brood, so what you're going to have to do before Yom Tov is not just simply point to it, but you're going to have to pick it up, you're going to have to shake it, and really desensitize yourself to it. Okay, that's Rashi's explanation of our Gemara over here. Good. We're back to the Gemara. So now for Beis Hillel, why do you have to be so specific? You have to actually point to which one you want and say, no, I want that one, I want that one. How about this? How about just simply say, look, you see that birdhouse over there? There are a bunch of birds over there. I'll take one of them tomorrow, two of them tomorrow, whatever. And so what? Now you want to tell me that Beis Hillel doesn't subscribe to Breira? In other words, what the Gemara is assuming right now is that once you subscribe to the principle of Breira, so that means that whatever you pick tomorrow, so that is retroactively the one that you decided going into Yom Tov. Meaning that you just simply pointed to the general direction of the birdhouse, and then on Yom Tov yourself you picked, and the one you pick now is retroactively the one that you selected going into Yom Tov. And if, as long as you subscribe to Breira, so that's going to be good. And so basically what the Gemara is wondering right now is why, according to Beis Hillel, do you have to actually point to each bird in particular? Why not for Beis Hillel? Why not just simply point to the general direction? And the Gemara says, and I'm telling you that Beis Hillel subscribes to Breira. How do I know that? So it's based on a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Olos tells us the following. We know, we've gone over this numerous times, that if there is human remains in a house, so there's something called Tumas Meis, meaning that what happens is that if I touch the Maser Tame, if you carry the Maser Tame, and if you're sharing the same roof, you're going to be Tame as well. Tumasawel. We've gone over this numerous times. Anything that's sharing the same roof as the mace, so it's going to become Tame just for being underneath the same roof. Now, as far as the transmission of the Tumasawel, so as long as you're under the same horizontal roof, so you are going to be subject to you're going to become tummy. However, this is not just true regarding the roof; it's also true regarding the doorways as well. The areas under the doorway, the area under the lentil, halacha views it as a separate roof. It's not, even though you could argue that it's the same. Halacha does not view it that way. The halacha views the lentil as a separate roof. And so that means now that technically speaking, if the mace is here in this room and there's a kli underneath or a person underneath the lentil, so then that person is not tame. However, here's what halacha demands that we do. Halacha demands that we have to look at the exit strategy, meaning obviously we're not going to keep the mace over here in the house. We're going to be taking the mace out of the house and we're going to go through a doorway. Now, if there's one doorway, so we know which doorway it's going to be. And so therefore halacha demands that we have to look currently right now at the exit strategy. We know that the mace is going to go through that doorway. And so therefore, even though the area under the doorway is a separate area, but nevertheless, the halacha says that the area under the doorway is also going to be subject to Tumas mace. There's a really interesting Rashi right here on today's daf, where Rashi says that this is a din derabanan. Rashi writes, if you want to see it inside, second wide line down, Gazru chachamim tuma amokum shu derech yitzias ha-tuma. So Rashi says that this is a din derabanan. Much discussion regarding this Rashi, because there's a number of other sources, including another Rashi in Shas, that says it's a din daraisa, not a din derabanan. Okay, we don't, I noted it, but right now we have to know the basics. Good. So that's if there's one doorway. How about if there's two doorways, more or anything more than one doorway? And so now there are choices to be made in terms of which doorway it's going to be. So basically, as we're about to learn together in the Mishnah, before a decision is made, if all the doorways are closed or all the doorways are open, so obviously a choice has to be made. Now, it happens to be that if all the doorways are closed and one doorway is open, so then it's pretty obvious which one we're going to use. I understand doors can be closed and open, but it's pretty obvious. But let's assume right now that all the doors are closed or all the doors are open and a choice has to be made. So what then becomes a halacha? So that's what we're going to be discussing now in this Mishnah. The Hatanan. So if the mace is in the house and there are a lot of openings, so they're all going to be tame. So right, the halacha of tuma sofa latzes is coming to teach us that obviously we're only going to be using one egress. Nevertheless, until a decision has been made, all the areas under all the lentils are going to be currently tame. So niftach echamehem hu tame v'kulam tahorim. Now, once a doorway is opened, so it's from that point going forward. So now we know. Now, chishev laosia b'echamehem o b'chalon sheish bar b'alarba matzelas kol apsachim kulan. Now, what if, let's say, you didn't open or close the door, but you had a machshava, you had a thought, and let's just assume right now that there's an articulation, and you say which doorway you're going to use. You didn't actually open the doorway, but you say which doorway you're going to use under those circumstances. So now the tumah is only going to be under that one doorway. Now we get to the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai omrim v'hu shechishev lotzio ad shelo yamus hameis. So according to Beis Shammai, the decision has to be made prior to the death. And Beis Hillel and Shitas Beis Hillel. And Shitas Beis Hillel is Beis Hillel omrim af mishiyamus hameis. Even after expiration, even after the person dies, a decision that will be made is going to impact even after the death. Now, that's the Mishnah. Now, here's the part that's unclear. We now see that according to Beis Hillel, a decision can be made even post mortem, and that decision now is going to tell us that as long as you identify which doorway you're going to leave, so that doorway is going to become tamei. The area under that doorway is going to be tamei. All the other doorways are going to be tahor. Is that decision only going from this point going forward, or is that decision also going to affect retroactively? Okay. It's unclear from the Mishnah. And, as we're going to see in just a moment, the Amoraim are debating this very issue. So let's see the Amoraim. So, ha itmar la amar rabba latar sa psachim ikan la ba. V'chein, amar avoshio latar sa psachim ikan la ba. So Mikano Laba in Lamafrelo. So a series of Amoraim, including Rabba, including Rav Hoshea, say that the decision is only going to affect you from this point going forward. Meaning as follows. So now let's paint the scene. So you have a room in Rachmanis, you have somebody dying in this room, and you have multiple exits of this room, right? Here in this room we have, I was going to say, three possible exits. That's not an exit. No. Okay, fine. That door gets you nowhere. So but you have two possible exits over here. So now, according to Beis Hillel, so there are two possible exits. So again, if one door is open, it happens to be one door here is open, and the other one's closed. So then, the halacha tells us that that doorway, the area under that doorway is tamei, and the area under that doorway is tahor.
But there's a window.
That window doesn't open.
Oh, okay.
Okay, fine. Okay, good. So but if both doorways are open or both doorways are closed, so then a decision. Now that decision means as follows. Now the way Rabba and Rav Hoshea understand it, only from that point going forward, which means that if there was already a kli prior to the decision under either of the doorways, so that kli is going to be tummy. But post decision, if now somebody introduces a kli or a person for that matter underneath the doorway, if that was a doorway that was decided not to be used, that area is going to be tahor. Okay. That's right now the setup of the Mishnah Noelos together with the explanation given by Rabba and given by Rav Hoshea. What comes out over here is that Beis Hillel does not rely on Breira. Okay. Now, problem solved. Meaning the Gemara wanted to know, why according to Beis Hillel do I have to point to each bird specifically? Why can't I rely on Breira? So now the answer is really simple. Because according to these set of Amoraim, Beis Hillel doesn't subscribe to Breira. Okay, good. The Gemara goes on to say, but they're not the only positions out there. So Rava Amar, we're three lines from the bottom on Yud Amud Aleph. Rava Amar la'olam la'mafreya v'hacha einu taima delma metalta v'shavik metalta v'shavik. So the Gemara says that according to Rava, Rava does in fact say that the decision made is going to help retroactively. Otherwise stated, Rava says that Beis Hillel does subscribe to Breira. That's true in the Mishnah and Oalos that we just learned together, that when Beis Hillel says that a machshava was had, you made a decision, you verbalize that decision, so that's not going to affect just from this point going forward, it's also going to affect retroactively as well. So now that means that Beis Hillel does in fact subscribe to Breira. So now we get to reintroduce the question. So if that's true, so then on Yontif, just point to the birdhouse and say, I'm going to take some of those birds. Which ones? I don't have to decide now. I can decide tomorrow on Yontif. Because the decision I make tomorrow on Yontif will go retroactively to this point right now. Okay, so why not? Why not do that? So the Gemara answers, and I read it, and now I get to explain it. So the Gemara says, because if I don't make a decision before Yontif, so here's what's going to happen. On Yontif itself, I'm going to be really fickle. I'm going to pick up a bird. Ah, this is what I want. And then upon further examination, you know what? I don't want this one. And you put it back. And you keep going through that process. Now, so with all that handling of all those birds that you don't end up using, so now you're violating the Isser of Muksa. So that's if I did it on Yontif itself. And the Gemara is assuming that if I do, and the Gemara is going to spell this out. It's not just an assumption. If I do this selection before Yontif, so now, right, my decision has been made, I'm not going to be fickled. In other words, when you go on Yontif and you go up there, oh yeah, that's the bird I wanted. Okay. Now, I know, by the way, practically speaking, in other words, right, we don't, right, our birds on Yontif are shechted and in the fridge. So we don't live this life, but I understand practically speaking, aren't these birds like jumping around from one place to another and you really can identify which bird you chose? And the answers obviously are yes. It's just, you know, what do we know from bird selection? So the Gemara says, Va'amar ba'omer va'omer zevizani notosaya. So the Gemara over here is bothered, meaning so selecting the birds is going to be sufficient. So the Gemara basically says, when you select the birds on Erev Yontif, that's going to be sufficient. And the Gemara just simply explains, we're on the top of Yud Amud Beis. Aval b'yomtav aser, dizimnin d'mishtachi, shmenim k'chushim shmenim, v'kemanta antalta mi didelo chazilei. Because on Yontif itself, you're just simply going to be fickled. On Yontif itself, you're now for the first time deciding, you pick up a bird that looked really good, and upon further examination, that's not so good. And you put it back. And you keep doing that, and that is that's total shalol letzarech. You're violating muksa. Inami, the Gemara says, or on Yontif, I'll tell you what, it can get even worse. Your inability to decide can really lead to total abandonment of the birds. I don't know, on Yontif you wake up in the morning and you're in a bad mood. And you're looking at these birds and none of them appeal to you. And at that point in time, you're just going to walk away. You're like, I don't want any of them. Masha'enkin on Erev Yontif. Once the halacha forces you to have to choose on Erev Yontif, so now you chose an Erev Yontif. Good, your decision's been made. You're not going to be so fickle, right? Seems to be like a psychological point over here in terms of people and their, you know, and once a commitment is made, so you're good. But if no commitment is made and only now on Yontif morning you have to decide, you're a disaster. You're going to be in really poor shape. And you're going to be in violation of tiltal, of muksa. Okay.
The Gemara seems to explain the Rashi, because if we hold it, there's Reira by entrance from Tsumas Oil.
Yeah, Mitch, just give me 1 second. Yes.
So that's okay, so generally we paskin that there's only Reira in the Rabbanan, not in the Deraisa. So it makes the Rashi make sense, because Rashi says it's Rabbanan.
Right.
So
the Reira over here really is resolving a Rabbanan issue. Right. I see what you're doing.
Now it makes sense. The Rashi says.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Just to repeat what David's point is. It seems to be a fantastic point. The reason why Rashi over here says that the Tumas Sofa Latze says a din de Rabbanan is so that we get to compare oranges and oranges. Meaning the issue at hand over here is Muksa, which is the Rabbanan, and if Tumas Sofa Latze says the Rabbanan, so that now we're comparing. Right, like items. That's a very good. It's an excellent point. Mitch, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, Brera is a deraisa. You don't say Brera. Is that what?
That's the Gemara. You know the conclusion. Meaning, the Gemara itself never takes a clear position. Right. The Rishonim already say basically as the compromise between the major machlokas that takes place amongst the Tanaim, amongst the Amoraim. It's a major debate. So what the Rishonim do is the Rishonim basically say by deraisas we do subscribe. We don't subscribe to Breira, and by the Rabbanans we do subscribe to Breira. So that's where the Rishonim go in terms of the halacha. But within the framework of the Gemara, it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas between Tanaim, between Amoraim. So okay.
My real question was, why do you have to make any selection if the birds aren't mutsa?
Your question is basically that's the cornerstone of the entire discussion. Meaning, if decision making wouldn't be a problem, so then you're absolutely right. Meaning, the birds are right. It's achila, and you're allowed to eat on Yontif. You're allowed to eat. It's a mitzvah to eat on Yontif. It's a mitzvah to eat meat on Yontif. So then you'd be fine. The concern of the Gemara is that because there's so many to choose from, so what your indecision will lead to is that you're going to be handling birds that you're not going to end up using. And that's a violation of muksa. Rashi uses the terms total shelo letzarech.
Oh, but it's not muksa.
But once you're not using it, so then it takes on some sort of muksa status. That's the assumption of the entire sugya. Okay, the Mishnah. We're on Yud Amud Beis, and we're going to be starting the Mishnah. Zimen shcharno masal levanim. Okay, so you go to the birdhouse and you set aside black birds. You wake up the next morning and lo and behold, they change color. Now they didn't change color. Okay, in other words, what happened was that they evacuated the premises and they were replaced by another set of birds. So levanim matzah shchorim, or you can go in the other direction as well. So in other words, the explanation is that these are now new birds. Shnayim matzah shlosha. Asurim. Or let's say you selected two birds. In other words, prior to Yontif, there were two birds there in the birdhouse. And then next morning, lo and behold, there's a third bird. Huh? Look at that, magic. And once again, it's not magic. In other words, there was a new bird introduced into the birdhouse. So under those circumstances, it's going to be Asur. Because they're in the case of blacks and whites, so clearly those are not the birds that you selected. Okay. And again, the assumption is that there has to be a selection. So these are not the ones that you selected. And furthermore, in the case of 2 and 3, 2 and 3 is an interesting one because two of them probably are the birds that you selected. That third bird, so that obviously is a new bird.
Why can't you take one?
So why can't you take one? Well, you don't know which one you want. Okay, so what I was expecting you to ask, which is Tosis's question over here, is why don't you just simply say Bittel? In other words, two of the birds are the ones that you selected.
Individuals.
So the, So stay tuned. I'm going to go. It's a short tosis, but I'm going to go over it. It's really fundamental. Okay. However, if prior to Yontif there were three birds over there and you selected those three birds and the next morning you discovered two, okay, so you can figure that one fled the premises and these two birds are they're the remainders. Okay, but you selected them. Now, Bisocha Kan Umatzalifnei Akan, Asurim. So let's say that prior to Yontif you selected the birds that were in the birdhouse and then the next morning there were no birds in the birdhouse. Now, there happened to have been birds in front of the birdhouse. So, asurim. However, says the Gemara, v'imein sham elahem hare elu mutarim. Now, if there's enough evidence to suggest that the birds that are in front are the same birds that were inside, i.e. there are no other birds, okay, good. So so then you can assume that these are the ones that you selected. On the other hand, if there's a whole bunch of birds around, and again, they were not found that morning, the place where you left them that night, you cannot make that assumption. And once there was a change of location, so you have to assume that these are a different set of birds. Okay. Pshita. The Gemara is now wondering, the first point of the Mishnah seems to be so obvious. Okay. In other words, birds do not change colors overnight. And so they're new birds. And the Mishnah seems to be making a point that we could have figured out. So, Amar Rabba Hachab Maiskin Kagon Shazim Shchorn Ulavanim, Vishkim Vamasa Shchorn Bemakam Lavanim, Ulavanim Bemakam Shchorim. Oh. So the Gemara injects a Chiddush into the Mishnah. It's not as simple as the Mishnah reads, but rather there were white and black birds both in the birdhouse. And you selected both. It happens to be that the next morning everyone changed locations. Oh no. So So the Gemara says now a plausible explanation is that everyone just switched places, but they're the same birds and they were all pre-selected and you're good. So So the Gemara says, no, but we're going to go with a different explanation, and that is that it wasn't just a change of locations, it was an actual change of birds. These are different birds over here. Now, Lema Misayel L'Rabbi Chanina. Now, if that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, so the Gemara says, so we went from no Chiddush to, that's an amazing Chiddush. Same birds, change of location, and we're going to go with an explanation of, those are not the same birds. So the Gemara we just went from no Chiddush to an amazing Chiddush. So the Gemara says, now that seems to support a statement to Rabbi Chanina. What is the statement to Rabbi Chanina? Dama Rabbi Chanina, Rov Vikar of Halacha Achar Rov. So the Rabbi Chanina point is as follows. Let's say I have two competing values. I have Rov and I have Karov. Okay, so let's just first go over the values in of themselves. First, let's go over the value of Rov. We've gone over numerous times, and that is the idea that Hochanach Arov, that we follow the majority. Okay, right? It's such a basic point in Gemara. We've gone over it so many times. I'm not sure if I really need to elaborate. I think we're all familiar with the concept of Rov. What about the concept of Karov? So proximity. Proximity in Halacha is a value. Now, the best example of that is going to be where you find a dead body, and it is next to two cities, then we don't know which city is going to have to take responsibility. Right, I'm obviously describing Egel Arufa found in the end of Parsha Shoftim. So now, which city is going to have to take responsibility and go through the process of Egel Arufa? The answer is whichever city is more proximate. So you see that Karov is a value. And so now Rov is a value and Karov is a value. And so now, in one line of Gemara, it's a fundamental discussion that takes up precious little real estate in our Gemara. But now, what happens when there's a clash between the values of Rov and Karov? So what's going to win out? It's a basic halachic question of which value is going to be greater than the other value. Is Rov greater than Karov? Is Karov greater than Rov? So Rabbi Chanina takes a really clear position on this matter, and that is Rov is a greater value than that of Karov. Now, how does he arrive at that conclusion? That's a lovely question. It's a really important question. Right now, for the purpose of Gemara, we're just going to accept that that's his position, and then our Mishnah, meaning, and now the new way that we're learning our Mishnah, seems to be directly opposed to that. Sorry, let me do that again. Seems to support that, meaning, what happened? Prior to Yontif, we had black birds, white birds in the same birdhouse, okay? And then the next morning, everyone's position got flipped. So now, what will Karov tell me? Karov will tell me they're the same birds. Are there any birds that are closer to than the birds in the birdhouse? Obviously, no. So Karov will tell me that they're the same birds. What will Rov tell me? Rov tells me that there's a whole world of birds out there, and once they flip position, so probably these are new birds coming from the outside world. So Karov tells me they're the same birds. Rov tells me that they're new birds. Now, what is our Mishnah teaching us again, based on our new understanding of our Mishnah, that we're going to go with Rov over Karov? Okay. So now, being that that's the case, so now we have supported Rabbi Chanina. Okay, good. And that's exactly what the Gemara says. So, Lema Misaela Rabbi Chanina, Amir Chanina, Rov Karov, Vehalachach Rov. Now, it could very well be that the Gemara now at this point in time will just simply wrap up shop and say, good, our Mishnah supports Rabbi Chanina. But you know, the Gemara is interested in Emes. And even if it means that what we seem to have is a wonderful proof, but if it's not a wonderful proof, meaning if there's another way to explain or describe it, so we knock out the proof for Rabbi Chanina. Not that he's wrong, it's just that our Mishnah is no longer going to be serving as a proof for Rabbi Chanina. So the Gemara says, Kedam Rabbi Bedaf Hachanami Bedaf. What's the case of the Mishnah? Mishnah may be talking about a case where there's a birdhouse, but there's also a perch right outside the birdhouse. And so now, very often, this perch is visited by many other birds. And so therefore, it's not a simple question of Rove versus Karov. Because the truth of the matter is that the birds from the outside world, a whole bunch of them are also right there on the perch on the ledge of this birdhouse. And so now it's not just Rove versus Karov, it's Rove and Karov versus Karov. Okay. So if you're going to set up the case like that, so then obviously we're going to side with the one that has Rove and Karov. But if that in fact is so, no longer does our Mishnah serve as a proof for Rabbi Chanina. Okay. Shnaim amatzah shosha asurim. So manavshach. I achrina ninu haachrina ninu. V'ilo achrina ninu haikachad dema'urev behu. So the Gemara says, can we go over now the 2 and 3? So you start off with 2 birds, and lo and behold, the next day you have 3 birds. So the Gemara says, so if it's achrinu, if it's totally a new set of birds, good, so they're a new set of birds. So and if there are not a new set of birds, but what you have over here is a new bird that you did not pre-select introduced into the mixture, and at that point in time, so you are going to be using a bird that is not pre-selected. Okay, now let's ask the question. Let's end off today's daf with asking and answering the question. So of the 3 birds, one of them is not pre-selected, but 2 of them are pre-selected. So what do we have over here? Seemingly, we have a majority of kasher birds, right? Birds that are mizuman. So what's the problem? Don't we have this concept of bittel berov? Tosfos, second tosfos. So chad minay ozolam avim tam v'chita lina l'kula b'davar sheyesh lo matirin. The v'yesh lamer dahol v'nishar v'shnayim b'mkamam. No, I didn't want that tosfos. Sorry, top tosfos. Sorry. V'im tamar v'ulibata beruba. So Tosfos says, so why don't we say bittel? So Tosfos answers, Yeshlama de Balechem lo batle de chashive. Answer number 1 of Tosfos, that we're talking about live birds over here, live birds are a davar chashuv. So as we've gone over numerous times, and it happens to be in Beitza, we cover this topic a lot. We've already covered it a number of times earlier, and that is the idea of a davar chashuv. When something is significant, so that is a bittel blocker. So over here, the birds are a davar chashuv, and therefore it will block bittel. Inamini, alternatively, alternatively, says Tosos, this falls under the category of a temporary Isser. And we know that when it comes to a temporary Isser, so we're going to be extraordinarily machmir. Another topic that we already hit earlier in our Masechta, back on Daf Gimel, on Daf Dalid, a Dav Shesh Lamatirin. So over here, since we're talking about the Isser of Muksa, which once Yantav is over, it's going to be lifted. So a temporary Isser, we're going to be extraordinarily machmir. Rashi said earlier in our Masechta, Ad shetochlenu be'isser tochlenu beheter. Meaning, why rely on bittel when, in just a little bit of time, everything is going to be mutar lagamrei? Okay, and so, again, the analysis in Tosfos, which we're not going to do, is why didn't the second answer not like the first answer? Why didn't the first answer like the second answer? You know, the classic eon that's done in a Tosfos like this. But anyway, but Tosfos asks and answers the question. Okay, let's stop over here. We're going to pick it up tomorrow at the 2 dots. Let's recap. Let's recap our daf. We started off this morning with an assortment of Mishnayos, 5 different Mishnayos that we quoted from, comparing it to the very first Mishnah of our Masechta. In the first Mishnah of our Masechta, Beit Shammai is a Mekel by Kisu Adam, and Beit Shammai is a Mekel, and Beit Shammai is a Machmer. And meanwhile, 5 different Mishnayos here in Beitza, actually all contained in the first Perek, in 5 different Mishnayos, it just goes in the opposite direction. Beis Hillel is the Mekel, and Beis Shammai is the Machmer, and presumably Beis Hillel is the Mekel because Simchas Yantiv. So how does that work against the first Mishnah? So that was the first discussion of the day today. And the Gemara said all five times, the cases are to be looked at differently. You have to treat each case independently. Okay, and then the next big topic of our discussion today was pre-selection. The birds need to be pre-selected prior to Yontif. If I don't pre-select them, so then I'm going to be paralyzed the next day trying to figure out which bird I'm going to use, and it's going to result in tiltul shel olad tzarech. Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in the Mishnah in terms of how exactly the process of pre-selection works. For Beis Shammai, you got to pick the bird up and shake it. According to Beis Hillel, just simply point to it. The Gemara wants to limit the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel to only the first brood. After that, everyone agrees. You just simply need to point to the bird. And then next big discussion, today's daf, is whether or not Beis Hillel subscribes to Brera or he does not subscribe to Brera. And if he subscribes to Brera, so why not just simply point to the birdhouse and simply say, I'll take from one of those, and then relying on the principle of Brera, so why can't that serve as a selection? And the Gemara's answer effectively is because on Yontif itself, even though you have the principle of Brera, but that's not going to save you from Muksa. Because what you're going to do is you're going to pick up a bird and put it down, pick up another bird and put it down, and if you didn't make the selection before Yontif, so you're going to be a mess on Yontif, and you'll be violating Tiltul Shel Olad Tzarech. And then our last discussion of today on the Amud Beis, so that was talking about where you did your pre-selection, but then it turns out that there are new birds over there. And so you selected white, there comes out next day that they're black, you selected two, there turns out to be three, you selected three, there turns out to be two. Okay, that last case we haven't yet discussed, that's coming up in tomorrow's daf. That's where our first discussion tomorrow is what happens when you select three and then there turned out to be two. The Mishnah said under those circumstances, it's fine. That's where we leave ourselves off for tomorrow, discussing that very case.